Wonderful. How do we start this? What do we say here? Thanks for leading us and for planting songs and words in our hearts. The Holy Spirit would be softening our hearts. I don't know about you, but I need that. I need my heart to be softened for me to grasp any kind of understanding of what God's dream would be for me and not my own. But before I start into the sermon, I want to make mention of a few people that their dream is becoming a reality. We have a number of wonderful young married couples that, I think it's 31 years of marriage, right? Maybe how many of you guys are? Paul and Ruthann, yeah. 40 years here that are taking off for a couple weeks. And not to exclude Steve and Glenda as well. And we know that you take off a little bit more often, which is a really good thing. But as I look, and I wanted to make mention of some of these couples. So Jim and Terry, who I believe are, and Heinz and Amarjeet, who aren't here, but are probably frantically getting things ready. Jim and Terry, I think their whole kitchen is in reno mode right now. And Hans and Amarjeet, and Harold and Erica, and James and Maggie are all heading off to Italy for a few weeks. And how cool is that? That we have these friendships that are long-term friendships that are now they're going to say, hey, we're going to holiday together. And we're thinking of you, and we're praying for you that this holiday you would experience God's presence in the midst of your relationship with each other, and your relationship with each other with in your marriage, but also with each other. And then Paul and Ruthann and Don and Debbie, you guys are heading down to Peru, right? And just enjoy it and lap it up. And just continue to know that God's shining on you. We just want to say thank you for your service here. And in the midst of the fall, we're going to be just fine without you. But we'll be praying for you and thinking and dreaming about the day that we might be able to do that as well. And so there's a wide variety of people, but we'll make mention of other people later on in the series. But I just want to make mention of these people that are going to be gone for an extended amount of time. So dreaming. Sharon and I can only dream about that. We're 13 years in, and to dream of 40 or 45 years or 30, wow, what a beautiful thing. The series Dream Again, it has birthed itself in Isaiah 61 and also in my heart that those verses and a number of other verses have been stirring inside of me for some time. You might recall at my installation in May, end of May, I had 12 minutes. Some people said it was my best sermon, maybe because it was the shortest. But I had 12 minutes to talk a little bit about this. And during that time, I want to be able to say more of this than just the 12 minutes. So I'm going to take about 30 minutes to extrapolate what I was trying to communicate May 29. So you're going to hear points of the same of May 29, but this is all coming forward to what God might want for us as a church here in my own life, in our own personal lives, but also in the life of our church. Okay? And I have the affirmation of, I should also, Peter and Diane did you guys leave them in Ireland? They're doing okay? Yeah, Peter and Diane and Chantel and Tim were in Ireland for a while, celebrating friendship and marriage. And but Peter said to me, he says that you need to be thinking about that. If that's what's in your heart, then we need to be looking at what God might want to do as a result of those stirrings in your heart with Isaiah 61, Luke 4, and what God might want to do here. So you're going to hear some of the same things, but we're going to unpack it a bit more than the 12 minutes that I had. So I want to talk to you about this. We all have dreams. Our hearts and our heads can be full of dreams and aspirations. Mayal, just before she was let out, my daughter, who's 5 years old, and Danny was saying, you know, we're going to talk about, Kevin's going to talk about dreaming. And Mayal looks at me, she goes, dreaming? You guys are going to talk about unicorns? Unicorns? Dreaming? What? And I was like, oh, how cute. Because we, a lot of times, we have these dreams, but sometimes dreams don't become a reality. Or sometimes we have dreams of what we want to see, and they've been dashed. And some dreams of our own lives have become nightmares. Definition of the dream, of dream by Merriam-Webster would say, a series of thoughts, images, and emotions occurring during deep sleep, REM. Okay. Second one would be an experience of waking life having the characteristics of a dream, a visionary creation of imagination or a daydream, a state of mind marked or released from reality. Then later it says, something notable for its beauty, excellence, enjoyable quality. The new car is a dream to operate. Or a strong desired goal or purpose. Something that fully satisfies a wish. And I would say, what we talk about God's dream here, these aspirations that God would want in our own lives, personally, but also in the lives of all of creation and all of the world in this context now, I would say that God has these dreams and aspirations, but they are able to be a reality. Because if a dream doesn't become a reality at some point, then it's just a wish. And we're only talking about unicorns and rainbows and Care Bears. In December, I'm going to repeat this, what I said in May. In December, the band Coldplay came with this album, A Head Full of Dreams. Like I talked about, it has songs that look through the reality that many people are living through. And the hard stuff that we've experienced in the last, especially through social media and all the news that have come out, all the negative news that have been bombarding us. But this song continues to stir in me. How can people suffer? How can people pull apart? How can people struggle? How can people break your heart? Break your heart, oh. And then it goes on and continues and it says, we just need love, just love. When the going is rough, saying, we're going to get it. This is where Peter has mocked me in singing this. We're going to get it. We're going to get it together right now. We're going to get it. We're going to get it together somehow. We're going to get it. Up and up. I really believe the cold place, hitting ahead and getting in touch with our own humanity, but also our own dreams of what could be in our lives. It's true that things are not the way it's supposed to be. Ask anyone that has friends and families that are dealing with all kinds of issues. This can either make us or break us. And today, on September 11th, 2016, we are reminded of how the Western world was shocked 15 years ago when the planes crashed into the World Trade Center. Although many people around the world have always been living with these threats, something in Western soil changed, shifted, and now the good life of the Western culture was threatened. The American, or shall I say, North American dream had been undermined, and the horrors and the nightmare had been met with a devastating reality of evil. A force of evil had attacked the freedoms and the way of life that was enjoyed by many, many people. And so as we dream, we also have this this perspective that we look and see the horrors of life. And we say it's not the way it's supposed to be. So what does God's dream look like for us? What does it look like? In the Old Testament, the people of God, the Israelites, were always walking through seemingly hard, hard situations. In the midst of that, the prophet Isaiah had these dreams of God. He was dreaming of what the world would look like when the Messiah, when God, would rule and reign. Why do we need to dream again? Because we need hope. We need hope in a world that is full of all kinds of things that are dashing our hopes. And Isaiah gives us this picture in Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. A beautiful picture of God's dream. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide those who grieve in Zion and bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of despair. Then they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. The people of God were longing and expecting for this Messiah to come and bring this good news into their situation. They were a people that had been knocked around and were going to be knocked around even a bit more as Isaiah prophesies what the Babylonian exile is going to mean to them. And I wonder, as we look at this, here for us, living in Canada, living in North America right now, what is our dream? Is our dream the American dream? Is our dream, and I don't know if I have to define American dream, but is that what it looks like? Or does it look like a little bit different, that God would be calling us to be doing something a little bit different, actually a lot different. What are some of the things in these verses here that you might be longing for in the situation that you find yourself in? Because I don't think that we're actually that far removed from this. We're not that far removed from circumstances that have caused atrocities like the World Trade Center, and I'm not belittling that at all. But I would believe that if you're like me, there's some things in my own heart that I am captive, I'm taken captive by, and the sin that I so easily get entangled with, and the blinders that I have on that are selfish and do not want to see the things of God, but I want to see only what I would like to do. And in doing so, I harm and hurt those around me. I believe God's vision, God's dream for us is much bigger and broader than what we might be thinking. But it starts inside and in each of us. And I wrote down here, as we look at these things, what are those spots in those verses that maybe can tug at yourself? Now, we also need to understand that this fulfillment, how God brings this dream into a reality, is through the person of Jesus Christ. There was I think someone posted on my wall this week, I forget who it was, someone in the church, on my Facebook wall, and they said, Kevin, this would sound like something you would say. And they posted on my wall, it said, Jesus is God's selfie. Probably without, all that comes with selfies. But I think that's it. And we here at this church believe that if you want to see God, you look to the person of Jesus. Jesus is the full representation of who God is. And so there's mystery of who God is. But we can look to Jesus and say, this is who he is. This is the character of God. This is what he's going to be doing and wanting to do in and through our lives, in my life, but also through our church. And so this is what we want to be concentrating on. And what this, in Luke 4, Jesus reveals that he's the fulfillment of Isaiah's dream, which is God's dream for his people and for all of creation. When in Luke 4, 16 to 21, it said this: Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue. And was his custom, he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to set the freedom for the prisoners, to recover sight for the blind. He has set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And then we have this interesting story that they're like, everyone was like, "Oh, Jesus was amazing." And then right after that, they wanted to kill him. And I wonder, because he said, "This is it. I'm it. I'm the fulfillment of the dream that God would want to share with the entire world. And it's not going to look like one coming by force. It's not going to be look like one that wants to destroy the enemies. It's going to look like one that actually wants to love enemies. It's going to look like when Jesus is on the cross and he says, one of his last dying words was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is the dream of God that he wants in our lives. He wants us to be able to be people that would look like that. But I would say that we first need to experience that our own selves. Our mission here at Coast Hills is helping people to discover and follow Jesus. If this is where dreams, true dreams, find their fulfillment, then we are on the right track. But let's lean into that. How are we discovering who Jesus is personally in our lives this week? How are we doing that? What are some ways that God is calling me to follow him in certain circumstances so that his dream would come to the world? We need to see these events around us, as well as our own personal heartaches, through the fact that Jesus has come in here now. One of the words of Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. So if God's with us, if Jesus is with us, then what is, and his presence is here, what does that look like practically in our lives? Because we don't want to talk about Care Bears and unicorns and rainbows, even how fun they are. Yes, but we want the reality of God in our lives. And it's not this victorious thing that we're somehow triumphal over those that have not. We're actually coming alongside people and saying, I'm broken too. I need to be set free. My eyes are blinded. And as a pastor, I always go, how do we do that? Because we can manipulate. I could manipulate. I could make you feel guilty. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We could try all kinds of things to be able to say, how does the Spirit of God touch our lives so so that our lives are actually touched by the living God, and the dead places in our lives are being renewed so that we have that hope, genuine hope, to give those around us. That's tricky. But it's the joy that we have here. And so as I told the band earlier this morning, and people that were setting up chairs and putting balloons up, I said, do we know why we're doing this? Why do we set chairs up? Why are there the balloons up? Why is someone came early and put tables up? Why has the band spent 10 plus hours practicing? Because we believe that Jesus is the fullness of who God is. And that Jesus has come here and now, and that he's provided his Holy Spirit to lead us to him. The trickiness is, I believe, is our own heart. And we need our hearts to be softened, to be able to be open to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives, that we can say yes to Jesus in the ways that he's calling us to. I was hesitant whether or not to share this story. I'm going to share this story with you. I had the privilege, as some of us do, to visit someone in the hospital this week. And this person is suffering, been diagnosed with ALS. And it hits home for some of us. And the person said, I need to talk to a pastor. And so through a couple different ways, they said, okay, let's talk to your pastor. So I went and to just sit with. And I'm going, what do I say? What do you do? So I just listen. And without saying too much, but I want us to understand this. As we chatted, and her dad was there, and her dad left the room, and as we were chatting, and it's starting to grip her mouth at this point, her speech, she's asking questions. I made a commitment to Jesus when I was younger. And there's been all kinds of, and I just don't feel him. What does that look like? I don't. And then ask this question. Might God be punishing me? Ooh, you're like, oh. And I want to jump and just scream and say, no. Because God isn't punishing her. Because Jesus stood up and read the scroll. And he said, today is the day of God's favor. And God isn't punishing her. And so we sat there and we prayed. And I waited. And we just said, would you... And I listened to her pray. And then we just sat there. And then she began to cry. And her dad came rushing in and saying, is she okay? She looks straight at her dad and says, I'm okay, Dad. These are tears of joy. These are tears of joy. God loves me. And I went and I had to spend about 45 minutes in the sacred space, the chapel there, weeping. And this is my heart. Almost ready to throw the notes out here. I'm weeping and praying for me, for you. And I went, not that we need to cry all the time, okay? But I'm saying, God, why doesn't our Sunday morning look like that? When we're just desiring and looking, and it is, but I come with this hard heart and I say, God, I want you to reveal yourself to me. But if I don't, then I just go through the motions. and it doesn't mean anything. You see, Jesus came and God revealed himself in Jesus to us. But God doesn't manipulate and move people and make people do things. He can. He could do sometimes in big shifts. He does. But for the most part, he allows us to be the ones, the recipients of his love. And then what do we do with that? And I believe with all of my heart, when we catch a vision of that, of his love for us, his love that he wants to set some the freedom in our life, to take the blinders off our own lives, that we would receive forgiveness, that we would receive a touch from him, that we would hear that he is not, that he's for us and not against us, that we are not being punished. But actuality, that this is life. And Jesus says, in this life, you are going to have trouble. But fear not, for I've overcome the world. Okay, what does that look like? Jesus overcome the world. But he comes in our lives and he does it subversively. And he actually comes and rule and reign inside of our lives and here and now. And he doesn't rule and reign in kingdom, in the worldly kingdom. He doesn't rule and reign and he's not... It doesn't look like what Isaiah's people were looking at, for a physical king to come and demolish their enemies. He actually comes to each one of us. We sang that song earlier today. I wrote it down here. Where is it? I wrote Same Love Song. Is that what the name of it? First time I heard it. And I was sat here at 9 o'clock weeping as I heard it. So, God, this this isn't unicorns. This isn't Care Bears. This is the reality of Jesus making himself known through the power of the Holy Spirit, coming subversively in our lives, touching the darkest part in our lives. And that wants to live and grow something beautiful in us, like we've talked about all summer with the fruit of the Spirit. I want to receive what I need to in my own life so that I can then be a person that would be able to give. I want to receive forgiveness from God because I have a lot of people to forgive in my life. Right? I want to be that kind of person. And my prayer is that we would want to as well. And I believe all of you do. And yet, there is this responsibility that we need to take, and we need to take action on these things in our own life. And then we're going to see the bigger picture unfold here as a church as well. These are tears of joy. These are tears of joy. God in the person has revealed himself in the reality of who he is. In Acts 2, we have the picture of this dream becoming a reality. And the reality is that this dream comes through our lives and in the life of the church. Acts 2, 17, 18 says this. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Hear the familiar language there? Spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me, Isaiah says. Jesus says, Spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me. This is the fulfillment. And then he says some audacious things. He says, you are going to do more, better things and bigger things than me. You're like, what? How does that work? Because I've sent you the Holy Spirit, the equipper, the comforter, the one that's going to lead you. In the last days, God said, I'll pour my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. I guess I'm an old man. In those days, I will pour out my spirit on all my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Meaning they will speak the good news of Jesus. That's what we're to do. Jesus' prayer here. Jesus is calling us to do this. And this has happened in the Church of Acts, and it's wanting and will continue in our lives as well. So what happens when Jesus the Messiah rules and reigns in the hearts of his people? What happens when his people pray the prayer to see God's kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven? What happens when his people are the ones who have their hearts mended and wounds that are bound up, who have been set free from their own captivity, when the blinders of sin and selfishness are pulled away and the light of God bursts forth into their lives, when despair is replaced by joy and beauty is exchanged for ashes and shame is replaced with joy? That is the place that people want to be. Those are the people that others want to be around. That is what I wrote as I was dreaming for us as a church. I think it might be on the screen. Could we do anything other than have a heart and a mind full of dreams that God would do work, would be working in our own lives, and hands and feet that would be ready to make those dreams come true? And it is by God's Spirit that our hands and our feet would be equipped to do such things. I'm asking us here to dream again. And what are your dreams? What are the dreams that God wants to instill in your own life? Are you able to dream again? I would say yes. What does it look like to allow God's dream to be your reality? Do you need God's dream to be a reality in your marriage? Do you need God's dream to become a reality in your, with your anger? So I bring us back to this song by Coldplay. And they say, we're going to get it together right now. We're going to get it together somehow. We're going to get it together in flower. We're going to get it together, I know. We're going to get it together in flow. We're going to get it together and go. But this isn't Coldplay's dream. This is the dream that God has for all of us, in each one of us. And I wonder if we might ask God to invade our lives and instill in us some dreams that might become a reality in our lives to those around us. Let's not wait till we are on. I don't want to belittle what happened. I want us to be able to say, these are tears of joy, because we've allowed our hearts to be softened and we've allowed our lives to be touched by the Holy Spirit. Jay, I want to bring your band up. And we have another 5 minutes here. That's always 6 minutes fast. And I would say in the next few minutes, I want to encourage us to be a people that would do something. Right now, I'm saying, would we allow our hearts to be softened by it? We've set together with a few other people, Aaron, myself, Peter, Jay, and some others that we're going to do via email about our preaching series. Next week, you're going to hear from a friend of mine, David Gotts of International China Concern. He's going to talk about a dream that he had when he was 19 years old in China. And you're going to hear this reality of the dream that Jesus has put in his life, that he's now affecting hundreds of kids' lives because of what God has placed in our lives. We're going to hear dreams about what does it look like to replace shame for joy? What does it look like to have a heart mended? A heart that was broken, a heart now that wants to be mended. What does it look like to have a flourishing life? That's what we want to see here in the next few weeks and months to come. And it's not just here on Sunday. We want to see what God would want in and through all of us. But I would say we need to, I don't do this very often, but I need to do it. We need to be open for what God is wanting to do in our lives. And that takes a step of courage. And I would say at some point during this song, whether you have your hands out or up or down or praying in your heart, I don't even have to see some kind of, would you ask God to allow you to dream again? But his dreams, not the American dream, because we know those things get shattered. But the deep dream of Jesus, that of a love that he has for us, that we would then be able to have that love for each and every one of the people that we meet in our lives. There's going to be a few of us, myself, Paul and Ruthann and Debbie, And anyone else, we would love to pray with people during this song. Take some courage. Take a step. If you go, I don't know, take a step. We'd love to pray with you. If not, obviously, we can't pray for everyone, but opportunity, just allow God to speak to your life. Would you allow His Holy Spirit to do this? Jesus, would you come? And would you make this dream a reality in our lives? Thank you for your tenderness and your love towards us. Pray that we'd be able to say, these are tears of joy. In your name, amen.